Why are y'all laughing? No, we're going to get them all, Jody. We're going to get them all. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 17, verse 1. We'll do the impossible. We'll get all 19 verses in. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible. I still hear pages turn. I'll wait on you. It's important that you see the Word of God. It's important that you see that Word sitting right in front of you. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible. It is impossible, but the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than he should offend one of the little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again, and say unto thee, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I want to touch right here. I'm going to make one point, maybe two, and I'm going to go on. This is not the meat of the message, but God said, preach right here for a moment. It is important that you go to church. It's important that you pray. It's important that you serve God. But I want to say this to you. When this verse started, it said right up there in 17:1 in black letters, it said, then said he unto his disciples. Disciples, people who follow Jesus Christ with discipline. Amen? You better be careful who you offend that they don't receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Your actions have consequences. And God said, if you offend somebody, we think, man, this is little children. No, these are people that do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you do something to put a hindrance and a stumbling block and offense to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. This ain't Kevin speaking. This is Jesus. He said it'd be better for you to tie a millstone and throw yourself into the sea. A millstone weighs thousands of pounds. You couldn't even hold a millstone in water. You couldn't get out from underneath it. I want you to know this. God says, be careful. Guys, we get this opportunity to serve God. We get an opportunity to come to church. We get the opportunity to be born again, saved. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can let our feelings get out ahead of us. And we can hurt people. Church is not about quitting and starting and quitting and starting. It's about serving God because He loved us enough to save our souls and change us from a destination separated from Him in hell to one in eternity. I want you to hear this part. He said, if thy brother offend thee, let him know. We are so passive-aggressive in the church. If somebody hurts us now in the church, we never tell the person who offended us. We tell everybody else. God said, if you got hurt, go to that person and say, look, this is what you did. That's an open rebuke. Much tough. You know what it says? If that same person comes back to you and says, hey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know what you do? You forgive them. Amen? Amen? Then that next verse right down from that says, if they do it to you all day, every day. But as long as they come and repent. Did you hear what I just said? That's an important part in there. If they don't repent, if they don't say, hey, I'm sorry, then you've got to keep them at a distance until they do. Some people say, why don't everybody get access? Everybody don't get access until they say, hey, I messed up. Amen? Not, hey, you messed up and you better go ahead and forgive me anyway. It's when they come back and say, hey, I've changed. Amen? I've had to do that. You'll have to do it. Being honest with yourself, you're going to have to do that as a believer. All right, I'll go one step further. If you don't, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to relocate a lot. Amen? You're going to have to show up at different churches and different ministries a lot because you know why? You're going to have an issue because you can't resolve nothing with anybody. So you're going to have to pack up and go somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else. Every time you get an issue, instead, you could just say, hey, look, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. You know what? Everybody's screaming and clamoring, I am too, for revival. You know what would really break out revival in the church? Forgiveness. Probably one person on this side, on this person in the back, the person in the front, just walking up to somebody and saying, hey, will you forgive me? I've been terrible. And that other person saying, will you forgive me? I've been just as terrible as you have. Let's go to the altar and pray together. Amen. Boy, you know what the devil would do if two people that have been at odds with each other go to the altar and pray together? My gosh, it'd bust the gates of hell wide open. Some of the people you've been praying for can't figure out why they ain't saved because they've been watching your life and you're talking about a Jesus, but you're full of bitterness. You can't let nothing go. You get hurt. Your feelings get hurt all the time. You talk about living by faith, but you live by anger and bitterness and strife. Amen? Boy, y'all won't have altar call now. We could just go ahead and get her done. Amen? Somebody did say, well, man, I'm going to try to make it. Verse 5. No, is that right? Yeah, verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, I love this part. I've said this a million times to God. Increase our faith. Anybody want bigger faith? Don't raise your hand too quick in this room. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, if you ever see one, it'll blow your mind. They're small. You might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, if it should obey you. You know what it just said? If you had the faith as a mustard seed, you could look at a plant or a tree and say, get up and crawl into the ocean, and it would. Most of us sitting in this room going, man, mine must be microscopic. I love what God is so cool. He's better than any of us, the way he explains stuff. Watch this right here. But which of you having a servant? Why did he go there? How did he switch gears like that? I want to show you something. He said, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherein I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. So, likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I'm like, oh, I know it. Just like, well, what do you get there, brother? We want super faith for doing what believers are supposed to do. Some of y'all are wanting super big faith for coming to church. I love church. But it is not the pinnacle of your faith. It ain't. You know what this is? You know what this equivalency is right here if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're in the emergency room. That's where you're at. Amen? You're in the doctor's office. But if you're a believer, you know where you're at? Filling station. Amen? You're at the gas station. Anybody want to stay at the gas station all the time? Amen? No, you go in there to get filled up and head on down the road. Amen? Go on to do the things you're supposed to be doing. Praise God, this is a filling station. You're not going to get big faith just from coming to church. You're going to get big faith by getting filled up in the church and going out there and exhausting everything you got filled up on. That's where big faith comes from. Well, I read my Bible. Praise God, you're supposed to. Some of y'all are supposed to. You know what? Somebody said, I get this thing from different faith. Man, some people like to preach to ignorant people. I don't. Golly, I shouldn't have said that out loud. I like to preach to people who know their Bible and know the Word of God. I want to preach to people who know Jesus and know what His Word says. Why do you want to do that? Because it's easier. It's easier. Some of y'all should be a step or four ahead of me when I'm preaching because you're like, I know what he's talking about. Instead of sitting there going, man, that's probably going to change everything in my life. Because what he's saying, I don't know what that means. Some of you praying, and praying is the most powerful thing we have. We neglect it. Or we don't go into it, but I believe prayer is interrupted by the devil more than anything else we do. Do you know why? Because if you can talk to God, you'll get a different perspective on what you're going through. Man, I could just walk right out of here right now. I could have filled my tank. What are y'all sitting right there for? My God, I'm messing my whole Sunday up. Talking to God is the most powerful thing you to do. Amen? Amen? You'll get sleepy talking to God. Your flesh will. I remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, started praying about the cross, every one of the disciples fell asleep. They didn't want to. It's because they had to pray. You want to get interrupted? Start talking to God. Your kids will act up. Your husband, your wife will act up. Your bills will come. Somebody will call, want to try to sell you something. It's important. But you know what? Can I tell you something? I hate to interrupt you on this right here. You're supposed to pray.
Right. Amen.
You're not doing anything different than you're supposed to do. Do you want big faith? You know how to get in big faith? Do this right here. Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you have me to do. Now, that's when you're going to start seeing faith, because you're going to walk into some things that are virtually impossible. The first time I ever said that to God, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to go full-time ministry. I had to pull over on the side of the road, crawl down into a box truck floor, and submit to that, because I said, God, and I don't know if this is important to you guys, but it was kind of important to me at the time. How am I going to eat? Amen? How am I going to eat? God said, you don't think I can supply your food? Who do you think's been supplying your food up to this point? Amen? The one that you worried about, can I put something in your belly? Can I put a roof over your head? Can I put clothes on your back? God, I'm about to lose it right here. I've been providing every breath you've had since you was born. Since the doctor pulled you out and slapped you on your back, I put every breath in your body. Good Lord. We're sitting here, God, can you provide? And he said, well, I'll just everything you got. Let's get into the message finally. Good God. I like to preach, amen? That was just a preamble. Some of y'all are sitting here looking at your watch right now going, remind me never to come back here. This guy's crazy. You're right, I am crazy. I'm crazy in love with Jesus. I am. I love him. Amen? Verse 11. And it came to pass as he went into Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Make a note right there. Jesus is going to go somewhere where they're not too religious and they're not caught up in their traditions. Some of y'all are so caught up in religion and traditions that you will not let God do what God wants to do. We said, well, we ain't never done it that way before. This is how we do it. Man, when Jesus showed up on the hoof, amen? How do you say that? Hoof? I said hoof. When Jesus showed up standing flat-footed in front of them, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, they looked at him and said, no, we don't do it that way. So do you know what Jesus did? He stopped in Samaria. He stops in places where people don't go, we've got a religious set of rules and traditions that you can't break. God will sit down with somebody that don't know nothing about nothing. Aren't you glad? Is there a few people in here got saved and you have no business being saved? God just interrupted your whole life and sat down and said, hey, there's some people that love Jesus and do great things for Jesus. They never had no background with God or with anything. They weren't raised in church. A lot of them the black sheep of the family. Amen. Good God. I know some of you can't raise your hand right there, but some of you, my goodness, if we could see y'all in your prime, if we could see some of y'all in your, y'all look cleaned up, y'all look good in here, amen? But like Johnny said, if we could run your life up on the big jumbotron up here on this big screen, you'd be sitting there going, oh my God. Some of you sitting by some people, you'd cringe up, you'd grab that pocketbook and go, whoa, I didn't know. Amen? Ain't God good, though? Ain't God good that you don't need no pedigree, you don't need no background, you ain't got to have no lineage? God will just reach way down and get you. Amen? And all of a sudden, watch this right here. He passed through Galilee, and he entered into the certain village, and there met him 10 lepers which had stood far off. Man, have you ever been way off from God? These people are the ones that were separated. I wrote it down because I'm ignorant. I wrote it down like this. The ones that are on the outside of the outside of the outside. Amen. They said, not everybody's in that category. God don't just always say people are cat, but they were the ones who were sitting on the outside. Nobody wanted nothing to do with. Leprosy, if it gets on you back in this time, is a death sentence. A slow death sentence. It gets in your flesh and it just eats away until you ain't nothing. But there's another word for that. It's called, stop sealing my messages. Sin. Shante said, I'll just go ahead and get ahead of you right here. Well, sis, you want to get the rest of it? I mean, while we're here? No, I'm just kidding. But that's what being ahead of, it's sin. It does the same thing. It erodes away at your life until there's nothing left. Amen? Blame everybody, complain about everything, and you're down there going, man, I'm separated from separation, sitting on the outside, all 10 of them. I mean, 10 of them. Should never be reached, should never been passed by. But God don't make mistakes. He goes by. Some of y'all are sitting in this sanctuary right now. The last thing you had on your mind was coming to church. Last thing on your mind was getting saved. Last thing on your mind was giving your whole life and service to Jesus Christ. But look at you now. Look where you're at now. Some of y'all said this, I ain't never going to go to church. I ain't never. You know how many times I said that before I got saved? Amen. I remember the conversation me and my wife had after I got saved. This is my favorite conversation. I love to talk about it. Mount Carmel Road in Chatsworth, Georgia. I had got saved. I don't know if she had got saved yet, but she said, what does this mean, Kevin? I said, don't worry, babe. We ain't going to get too serious in this thing. <laughs> 16 years full-time ministry. 17 years been preaching the gospel. Ran a boys' home, run a Christian drug and alcohol recovery center, been all over the country preaching Jesus, and here I am, your pastor. We ain't going to get too serious into this thing. God will wreck your plans, wreck your life, turn you upside down, make you a missionary, make you a pastor, make you a pastor's wife, make you something you never thought you could be, and when you're sitting on top of it, right where God puts you, you'll sit there and go, man, my God's a good God. Amen? Amen? Every mistake, every bad thing that ever happened to you, everything that turned your life upside down, God will take it to glorify Himself and help somebody else. Don't amen me. I'll just sit here and preach myself. Amen. That's good stuff right there. Some of y'all are sitting here. There are some miracles sitting in this very room right here. There are some people sitting in this room who've been through tragedy, unspoken of tragedy, are sitting in this room, and the devil tried to keep them out of this room. They should have never been here, but they're sitting here going, despite the death, despite the pain, despite the verdict, I still love Jesus. Man, how about that? Some of y'all should just go like this. You didn't think I was gonna go back to church. You didn't think I'd have the strength. Praise God, I didn't have the strength. I just leaned on the one who does. Man, we could have a shouting match in here if you'd have one. Some of you come to church this morning and go, y'all do this church like this all the time? No, this one's kind of simmered down a little. I like when people are trying to stand far off from God. God will get you. Boy, he's got. If the right person prays for you and the Holy Spirit comes, he'll get you. Amen. And I'm glad he does. You might not like that statement right now, but you will when he gets you. My daddy used to say, I'm praying for you. God's going to get you. I'm like, he can't get me. He'll get you. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Be careful what you pray. Be careful what you pray. Some of you are going to make superficial prayers. You're going to say stuff like, God, help us. Oh, God bless. Oh, God, get us in a good church. They made this prayer way off. Hey, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. All 10 of them made the right prayer. Amen? I love this part. I'm about to get into some of you. Don't be mad at me, all right? Or if you're going to get mad, stay mad for a little while and then come back. Verse 14, and when he saw them, God sees you. Golly, I could preach for 35 minutes on just God sees you. God don't see your superficial junk you put out for everybody. God looks at your heart, your mind. He goes all the way down into your childhood. He goes when he created you in the womb. He designed you, made you. He knows your fears. He knows every good thing and bad thing about you. And he sees you. Good God. God sees you. Some of y'all sitting right here, y'all in camouflage. Y'all are hiding in plain sight. Stop laughing, please. hiding in plain sight. You think y'all got it covered. God, He knows you. He knows every hurt, every pain. He knows everything that happened to you. And he sees past all your failures and your flaws and your insecurities. And He loves you anyway. And He keeps screaming. He's been screaming this your whole life. I want to adopt you. Golly, adoption's sweet, ain't it? Because you know what's the difference between adoption is and having regular kids? I love my kids, amen? And I love, because God gave them to me and they came out of their mind. Praise God, I take them. But you know what, God, the great thing about adoption is God knows all the stuff. There are people who adopt kids sometimes and they got a rap sheet on them. Mom and daddy both drug addicts. Mom and daddy both beat them. They're going to have issues, mental, physical, health issues. And some people go, oh, God, I'm about to lose it in here. I want you anyway. I want you anyway. God looks at you all through down the from the beginning to the end and says, I want you anyway. I love you anyway. Despite you anyway. I know what you'll do 10 years from now. I know what you'll do with my grace and my mercy. I know what you'll do with my love. Praise God, I want you anyway. I'll make you my child anyway. Woo! Some of y'all right now, not the lost people. I'm talking about the saved person sitting here this morning. You better just kind of raise your little hand to your side and say, thank God. Thank God He loves me anyway. You can disown all your kids, but you can't disown adopted kids. Go to the court. They'll say, no, you chose them kids. You're going to have to do something for them the rest of their lives. You can get rid of them natural ones. But once you pick up the mantle on one of them adopted ones, you got to keep them. You got to ride it till the end. Man, why don't y'all ever shout? He's going to go the end with you. The last person you'll hear with the last breath you got is God. My Bible says, beautiful in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. Not the dying. If you was ever wondering about one person that you loved, that they knew Jesus, the last time they drew their breath, they were standing in the presence of the Holy God. In the Spirit, they were standing there in the presence of God. You know, what they said is, I got some ones coming. They'd never been happier, they'd never been healthier, they'd never been more than they were the moment they took their last breath. God said, I've been waiting on you. Godly, man, I'm... And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. There's a process. You'll be running for God. Next thing you know, you'll be cleansed. You won't even know it. And man, I started running for God. I was like, man, I don't know how good God is. I don't know how deep God is. I don't know how good I've been healed. Praise God. They got a little ways off and they started looking down. They realized, man, hey, well, God touched us. Some of y'all are going to do good. You're going to come to church. You're going to get a word. You're going to get saved. You're going to get baptized. Praise God. You ain't going to realize how good it is. You'll get to running. He said, go show yourself to the priest. You know, it says, go show yourself where you can get back to life. There's the problem. There's the rub. Some of y'all trying to get back to a normal life. If Jesus touched you, you were never supposed to get back to a normal life. You're supposed to be a radically different, peculiar, that's what He calls us, peculiar people. You should be a stranger to every lost person in this world. People should look at you sideways and go, what? They should look at you. You should get looked at like dogs look at people sometimes. You know how they go? People should look at you and go, you are a peculiar one. A royal, chosen vessel from God. Amen. I love this part right here. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. 1 out of 10. I think the ratio is about right. If we're looking at all of our programs and everything we do, 1 out of 10 is about right. That's sad. But it's absolutely true. Can y'all see him? I see everything as a movie. I do. They're all running. They're going to the priest. One of them's going, I can't wait to see old Sally. Woo-hoo, glory. Sorry. And one is like, man, I can't wait to see my friends again. So I can't wait to get down to the family reunion and eat all the chicken. And one of them, as he was running, looked down. And as he was running and thinking about all the things he was going to run back to, Chris, made a turn, and I think he picked up speed. Where are you going? Where are you going? If God's really touched you and saved you and changed you, where are you going? Some of y'all are going to put a religious connotation. Well, we're going to go to see the priest. No, 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 no. We're going to go to church. No, 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 no. The priest ain't what touched you. Matter of fact, a priest would never even think about touching you. A person did not help you. What are you running to? Some of y'all are trying to run away from God so fast. You got a career waiting without Jesus? You got a family ahead of you without Jesus? You got some kind of life that you're planning without God? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to fail. It's going to fail miserably. Some of y'all don't believe that. Some of y'all are mad right now in your spirit. You don't know me. I don't have to know you. God is the giver of life. He's the giver of peace and joy and happiness. Trying to live without God is impossible. Amen. You'll run into a place in your life and you'll say, I need help right here. And the only person that will be able to help is God. Marry somebody without Jesus. You're going to find out one day you're going to sit there and run into him and go, I don't like you. Good God. Somebody been married about 40 years. Please say amen every once in a while. One day you're going to look at him and you're going, man, I hate you. You might not say that one out loud, but you're going to think it. You know anything's going to keep you together? Because Jesus forgave you, you can forgive them. Marriage and relationships ain't going to make you, you ain't always going to be happy. I don't know who told you that. That's a mess. Happy. He will get you through. He will give you a deeper love for your spouse and for your children if you trust him. Oh, that's a whole nother message. I'm going to try to get all 17, 19 of these in there. Jesus answering and said, no, I missed a part. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Some of you, I've been here for almost 8 years. I've not heard some of you's testimony, not even a peep about Jesus. You'll tell me your biggest problem. You'll tell me the flaw. You'll tell somebody else what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. But you ain't never come up and said, hey, you know, this is how Jesus saved me. Some of you got your domains, your kingdoms, your things in here that you do. But praise God, I ain't never heard one word. Man, this is how Jesus saved me, and I love him. Amen? Yeah. Think about that. This one ain't been touched but a minute. Came back at the loudest part of his voice. The same voice he cried out with. He said, God, thank you. I love you. My God, praise you. Here's what I love right here. This is the title of the message. Let the bodies hit the floor. Yeah. You get that? Let the bodies hit the floor. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Miss Carol. Because verse 16 says he fell down on his face at his feet giving thanks as he was a Samaritan. Have you ever been flat on your face before God? Crying out to him saying, thank you, Jesus. He said, well, I don't have to get down. You know you don't have to. No, you don't. But you'll want to. And let me tell you this, saved or lost, everybody in this room, you might not like this one, but I'm going to tell you the truth. One day, you're going to be face down prostrate in front of Jesus. You'll either say yes and amen to your damnation, or you'll say yes and amen to your salvation. You're going to be flat on your face. But if you really truly get saved, there's going to be a couple times in your life where you'll lay out before him and say, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let the bodies hit the floor. It'd be great to come into church and see the church just laying out before God. Oh, I don't like it. That's that old holy roller stuff. Man, we have gotten so desanitized from what real worship is unto God. We're embarrassed if God does something amazing in our life. We get embarrassed. I lost control. I'm so sorry. God, you've been in such control. We've controlled ourselves out of a relationship with Jesus. We've controlled ourselves where the Holy Spirit stands at the door out there and knocks and said, I would love to come in. There are some churches in our country who God has never visited in years and years and years because we have controlled every bit of who He is. We have said to Him, God, we can do church better than you. I cannot do church better than Jesus. And I ain't even going to attempt to. But I want you to know this, God keeps good record. If y'all don't like this, you'll be mad. But he says, where are the 10 cleansed? You know what he said? I got 10 of you. Where are they? Some of y'all are mad at you. I'm one of those people. I don't talk a lot. I'm kind of shy. I'm backwards. I'm reserved. That's okay. But if you get touched, it'll bring you out of your shell. At least for a minute. He goes, I expected 10 of you to come back. Where are the 9? God, I love this. This is my favorite part, Peyton. Where's the 9 at? Where are the 9? Where are they? I can't control the 9. I don't know. I can't control the 9. I can't control none of them. He said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith made thee whole. You ain't just whole on the outside. I fixed your insides too. Some of y'all are going to get fixed on the outside. You're going to be great. But praise God, if God will ever fix that on the inside, you're going to be a different person. Amen? I love that more than anything else. I've been saying that my whole life. What about everybody else? I can't control everybody else. Why ain't everybody else coming? Why ain't everybody else running? Why ain't everybody else serving? I don't know. All I know is when I seen it, I ain't got nowhere else to go. Let's all stand as Scott comes to get a song. I want you to hear this. There was a place in the Bible where Jesus turned around to a lot of his disciples and apostles, and he said, take up your cross and follow me. And a lot of them said, no, thank you. And a bunch of them left. Man, that's the worst thing to happen in a church. People leave. Like, oh, no. They left. You know what Jesus did? He chased them down and begged them to come back. No. You know what he did? He turned around to the 12 apostles, and he looked at them, and he said, you going somewhere too? You leaving too? You leaving too? Then Peter comes off with the greatest answer that's ever been written in the Scripture by a human being. Where would I go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. Where would I go? Friend, where are you going? Not after church, where are you going? Where are you running from? God wants more out of your life than just for you to show up at church, just to be a part of a service. He wants your soul. He wants